Can Israel's gospel save today? Can Israel's gospel save the believer today? Believer in that gospel. People tend, they hear that you're saved by believing the gospel, and they think that means believing something. Believing there is a God, believing Jesus existed, believing Jesus died on a cross, or take your choice of what you want to believe. And that's not, you know, God is the one that decides what it is that he's going to honor belief in. So there are several defining scriptures that it is important not to pass up or to downplay, especially if they don't seem to fit your concept of what God says in his Holy Bible about the Gospels, about the apostles, and about the churches. And I've listed some of those that are routinely either ignored or bypassed. Well, I don't quite understand that, so we'll get back to that, that kind of thing. Let me just list eight of them here, but there are many others, I'm sure. Matthew 12, 32, Acts 2, 16 to 18, Luke 4, 19 to 21, Matthew 16, 20, Acts 13, verses 3 and 4, the difference there between them, and Acts 13, 41. At a time when Paul was preaching the mystery of Christ. A couple more. 1 Corinthians 9, 17 to 18. And the last part of Romans 1, 16. Okay, so to get more into a path here that we're going to try to follow through this, Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people being Israel, yet they would not hear. And so when you get to Acts, after the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, and in Acts 2, Peter preached that the signs and tongues spoken by Israel's 12 apostles on their Pentecost Jewish feast day, that they were part of prophecy foretold by Joel in Joel 2:28-32, and also in Isaiah 28:10-12. In Acts 2:16-18, Peter calls Israel's signs part of prophecy's last days. Last days. Israel's Pentecost tongues were the last days, relating to Daniel's 70-week prophecy. They were not the beginning of anything. They were the last days of something. They were not the beginning of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Peter preached that those Jewish Pentecost tongues had been prophesied, had been professed before, had not been kept secret. We just read it in Isaiah 28. In Luke 4:19-21, Jesus Christ quoted Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. According to verse 21 in Luke 4:21, Jesus only quoted the parts of Isaiah 61 that he would fulfill during his then current earthly ministry. Notice that Jesus did not include the day of vengeance of our God, which is in Isaiah 61. He did not include the day of vengeance of our God as part of his earthly ministry. But look at what he did include: to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Luke 13:6-9 tells a parable about God's long-suffering with Israel and the acceptable year of the Lord. That year is the time that Mark referred to in Mark 16, verses 19 and 20. Last two verses of the book of Mark. He said, "So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following." He was in heaven, but he was working with them on earth. They were on earth, he was working with them from heaven. By confirming the word with signs following. That time to which Mark referred is the acceptable year of the Lord, following Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension back to heaven. It was the year about which Luke and Isaiah had prophesied. It was not anything new. The mystery was not yet revealed. The secret had not yet been told. By the time of Matthew 12, Israel had already rejected God the Father by rejecting and killing God's prophets that he sent to them. Israel would soon reject Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by crucifying him, declaring in Matthew 27:25, "His blood be on us and on our children." Israel's final rejection of God came in Acts 7, according to Matthew 12:32, which reads, "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Well, the first part of that verse, speaking a word against the Son of Man and being forgiven, that occurred in Luke 23:34, when God forgave Israel for speaking against the Son of God, Jesus Christ, crucifying him. In Acts 7:55 and 56, the Bible says that Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost. It could be said that he was abounding and overflowing with the Holy Ghost, filled. In Acts 6:8-10, the Bible says that Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders, miracles among the people. But the disputers were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spake. Then Israel's leadership and the hierarchy of that leadership, all the way up to the high priest, committed their final rejection of God when they cried out, it says, in those words, they cried out. When they cried out, they were speaking against the Holy Ghost. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. Talking about stoning Stephen. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. That's Acts 7:57 and 58. And when Israel cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and stoned him, they were speaking against the Holy Ghost, speaking through the mouth of Stephen. That final rejection of God terminated the acceptable year of the Lord. God manifested his long-suffering and his justice by waiting until Israel fell by their final rejection of God's Holy Ghost before he introduced the mystery of Christ. By Christ returning. Christ himself returned briefly to Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road. Christ's new administration was to save believing sinners. Paul later referred to himself as the chief of sinners, or the head of the line of sinners to be saved. That's in 1 Timothy 1:15. It was in Paul first that Christ patterned his newly revealed salvation to those who only believe on him to life everlasting. Not mixing in pollutions like, I gotta, you know, just in case I'll be water baptized, or just in case I'll go to church every week or whatever. No, your belief needs to be alone in the fact that Christ died for your sins. Believe on him to life everlasting. Those saved by Christ's new salvation gospel to Paul were baptized by one Spirit into this different church, the body of Christ. And that's not a water baptism, that's a baptism into the body of Christ. Into one body, it says, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Those two churches, this new different one and the older, the Israel church, they're different from each other. They're not the same. Christ formed the body of Christ, the first that he had a head and a member in the body of Christ. That would be Paul, the first member in the body of Christ. Soon as Paul was saved, that was the beginning of the body of Christ. Christ's newly formed body of Christ is not the same church as Israel's Church of God with their 12 apostles. You'll never find scripture saying that Peter preached the gospel of the grace of God to anyone for salvation. Conversely, you will never find scripture saying that Paul preached the gospel of the kingdom out of heaven to anyone for salvation. That's Israel's domain. Paul's gospel of salvation into the body of Christ was different from Peter's gospel of the kingdom coming out of heaven. The Bible confirms that they were different by supplying phrases that distinguish between them. Look at the end of this verse, Acts 13:26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, that's the brethren part, and the men part would be, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Do you see the distinction there? He's narrowing it down to the one he's preaching, not some other salvation that went before him, that Israel knew. Which salvation? This salvation is the gospel of Christ that saved unforgivable Saul of Tarsus. This salvation is the salvation by which Saul of Tarsus was saved, not the former salvation by enduring to the end in obeying the covenants, the commandments, circumcision, the Sabbath, believing the prophet like unto Moses, the prophet that speaks God's words in God's name, that's Jesus, which Israel rejected. But that was part of what they needed to do to, if they endured to the end, to in the end be saved. And that comment at the beginning was correct. They're not saved yet. They're in line to be saved when Jesus returns. They've all died by now. It's been over 1900 years. But Israel's gospel ceased to have saving power since Israel fell from being God's people. Look what Paul says about this new way to be saved. Be it, this is Acts 13, verses 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, talked about Jesus Christ being slain, crucified, and buried, and rose again. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. In those two verses, you can see evidence of two gospels, justifying two different groups of people in two different ways, yielding two different results. Look at the difference. By him, all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. In other words, The law of Moses could justify them of some things, but not of other things. Paul's newly revealed gospel is not a gospel that only justifies you from some things. By him, all that believe are justified from all things. Next, let's see the two different names for the two different gospels. Galatians 2, verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Let me read that again, as sometimes people miss that. This is Paul speaking. He says, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me. You can read that commitment in 1 Corinthians 9, 17 and 18. And it's called by different... Well, let me get through this first. The gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision, Israel's gospel, was unto Peter. The gospel of the uncircumcision is also called the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God, depending on what audience was being sent. It was being sent to at that time. It is it's written down in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, and I'm going to take the opportunity to take the time to read those verses. They're so important. There's nothing more important, really. Air to breathe is not as important as being sure you're going to heaven and not hell for eternity. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. So it's the gospel that saves you, a gospel of salvation. And he's going to tell us what it is. It says they received it, though. They had to receive it to be saved. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. So this is what Paul preaches down here. He says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Paul had to receive it. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That's a lot different than Israel's gospel. Israel's gospel was that if they obeyed the... They had to endure in doing these. Continuance of faith, it talks about. They had, without fail, they had to obey the covenants, the commandments, the Sabbath, the circumcision, and hearken unto the words of that prophet, like unto Moses. If they did all that without fail, then they would become a holy nation, of a kingdom of priests on the land that's promised in the scriptures, in the Mideast there. It's mapped out, a big, huge triangle. Several nations are taking up that space now. It hasn't happened yet. All these centuries have gone by, and they still haven't kept that gospel there, that good news, that if they did those things, if they keep the covenant. You know, you can read some of them here and some of them there. Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6 gives them the framework of the covenant. But after Jesus came and began ministering, he reminded them of the promise of that covenant, that he would make them a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So Israel's gospel in the red letters is in Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. And it says what the gospel is. I like these verses because it not only says it's the gospel of the kingdom, but it tells what the words were that came out of their mouth when they preached the gospel of the kingdom. Now, and this is it. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What's the gospel? Well, he just told them. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, so here's what the gospel is that they're to believe. The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, they had waited long enough that Exodus 19 verses 5 and 6 promised kingdom of priests. It was time to bring it to be. And the Lord was bringing it about if they would receive that him as that prophet, that like unto Moses, Deuteronomy 18 verses 15 to 19. However, Israel now has fallen, and so that gospel no longer works. They're waiting, in fact God is waiting for Israel as a nation and the leadership of it to turn around and to receive Jesus as the Son of God, as their Messiah, risen from the dead. And Zechariah 12:10 says when that'll be. But for our study, today God is only saving people by Paul's gospel. One of those two listed there in Galatians 2:7 that we read a few minutes ago. And we've seen two different groups of churches, one ending and the other beginning there in Acts. And we've seen two different gospels that induct believers into those two different churches. Now we need to see the two different channels, means that Christ used to send out those salvation gospels to mankind at different times. Christ sent out Israel's 12 apostles only to Israel before Israel's fall, not to us. In other words, they were only sent to Israel, not to Gentiles, and they were sent before the fall. When Israel fell, they'd given up. There's no hope for them to believe that gospel then. They can be saved individually, just like you and I, by believing Paul's gospel. But Paul's gospel yields a different destination, heaven. They won't be on that plot called the land in Israel and in that Middle Eastern area. We need to see the two different channels that Christ used. Christ sent out Israel's 12 apostles only to Israel before Israel's fall. And this is the verse that we use to show that. It pretty clearly states it. If you start with Matthew 10:1, he has his disciples there. And then he names 12 apostles. And then in verse 5 he says, these 12 Jesus sent forth. That's what an apostle is, a sent out one. Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Not into the way of the Gentiles, that's us. So we didn't get that message. Into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So contrast Christ's sending of Israel's 12 apostles only to Israel with what Christ charged Apostle Paul with in Acts 22, verse 21. He said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now here's a confirming exercise to do. Try to show me from the King James Bible where Peter ever preached the gospel of the grace of God to anyone for salvation. He may have preached the facts that Christ died on the cross and possibly that he was Israel's Redeemer. Other facts but not that if they would believe that Christ died for their sins, they would be immediately saved into the body of Christ. No, he never preached on that basis. Just like Isaiah lists the facts that Christ went through there on the cross, the fact that he bore Israel's sins, but he never tells how to appropriate it, how they can be saved by it. So on the other hand, conversely, in other words, try to show me from the King James Bible where Paul ever preached the gospel of the kingdom coming out of heaven, preached it to anyone for their salvation. He made things clear what they should have believed, Romans 9, 10, and 11, but he didn't tell them it's time to believe that. In 1 Corinthians 7, he said, if you were in the past, if you were called in circumcision, don't become uncircumcision. So he told them to stay what they were, but he didn't preach the gospel of the kingdom and tell them how to be saved in it. They are different sets of apostles. Paul and those that were called apostles with him, Barnabas, Timothy, Silvanus, is different. A different set of apostles from the 12 apostles that the Lord appointed in Matthew 10. Different sets of apostles sent out to different groups of people with different messages, resulting in different destinations, the land or heaven. It's very helpful that the Word of God is so explanatory when it reports about God's dispensing of salvation instructions. Look at how Christ eventually sent out Paul to all men in Acts 22, verse 21, by telling Paul that he was sending him to Gentiles that were far hence from there. Now we can see that before Christ's far hence sending of Paul to the far off Gentiles with the gospel of the grace of God, Christ had initially sent Paul with the gospel of Christ to certain Gentiles that were in a position to provoke them, provoke Israel to jealousy, and to certain Jews from whom Paul would have to be delivered. And the verses for that are 1 Corinthians 9, 17 to 18, Romans 11, 11, and Acts 26, 16 to 17. The Lord had a remnant of fallen Israel, in other words, a small believing part, even after Israel fell, that he knew would choose or elect to be under grace, not the law of Moses. That's in Romans 11, verses 5 and 6. They just had to hear Paul's gospel of Christ to believe and be saved and sealed in the body of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same administrator dispensing differences of administrations. And that's all I've got for you right now. So any thoughts or comments or corrections, bring them right up.